number two, Dale and Keith. Sports Radio WEEI. We'll talk to Patriots Hall of Famer, NFL Network analyst Willie McGinnis at the bottom of the hour. Trying to figure out what was the coldest game he ever played, and we'll ask him.
That's got to be that Titans game.
That would be the one.
Probably.
Yeah, that would be the coldest one he's ever played in. I'm always curious, too, whether it's easier to be an offensive player or defensive player in a game like that. You know, that whole offensive guy knows where he's going.
Yeah.
You know, can make the cuts even if the field is slick.
I think the footing will be fine. I mean, I would just think, like, not that we care necessarily until it really comes down to it, but probably sucks for kickers. Like, you're just kind of hanging out on the sideline for a while. You got the jacket, you got all that stuff. Let me finish. And you got him doing all that stuff. And then you're like, all right, now you got to get out here. And, you know, the ball, even though you have the kicking ball, all that stuff, it's just, they would much rather just kick in a dome and do that. So I think it's got to affect them maybe the most.
So we'll talk to Willie about all that stuff. We'll get right back to your calls at 617-779-7937. Keith's in New Hampshire. Hey, Keith, how you doing?
Hey, Dale. A few minutes ago, you were talking about fighting in the NHL. I called back a few months ago, and I mentioned to you about a show on Netflix called Ice Guardians. Have you had a chance to see that?
I have not.
You really should, because it goes into detail and specifics about how, since the NHL kind of took fighting out of the game, which they have and they haven't, but that concussions have actually gone up since they stopped the fighting, because the so-called dirty players have no... there's no payback, you know, from hitting people. It goes into very specific, so I highly recommend it. I've seen it a couple times. And on a side note, I didn't know that when Gretzky okayed the trade to L.A., that he wouldn't do the trade unless they sent McSorley to protect him.
Well, he was a very slight guy, and in those days, he probably needed the protection. And Marty McSorley was, you know, the guy who protected his wing for years and years.
Yeah.
I've heard both arguments. And by the way, I said I've been kind of on the fence about this. I've always been a pro fighting kind of guy. And then as I've seen more cases of CTE and concussion issues,
and
head trauma, you go, you know, is bare knuckle fighting the exact best way to help prevent that?
No, it's not.
I understand
the
cheap argument.
Shot thing, though, I get
valid argument. Yeah. I understand that. And, you know, guys don't feel like they are not answerable anymore. So they, you know, cheap shot guys with impunity. I'm not sure that the cheap shots go down if you increase the fighting, but maybe.
Well, I think if you eliminated fighting, though, I think there'd be more cheap shots. And you wouldn't know until you actually did it. But I just think you can't completely take away cheap shots. There's always going to be guys, and the game's moving fast. A lot of them, you can tell, are on purpose. But every once in a while, there's going to be stuff that's not done on purpose. But I think if they know that either they are going to have to face the consequence later on, or they're going to put a teammate in jeopardy later on, they may think twice about it.
617-779-7937. Mike's in Wakefield. Hey, Mike.
Stupid or something.
Mike.
Wow.
I'm gonna crack your jack. I'm sorry.
Mike, who are you yelling at? What's the problem there?
Traffic.
I hear you.
Hey, guys.
It's brutal, isn't it?
It's bad out there.
Oh, you know, some of the smartest dumb people in the world around Harvard and MIT, I'm telling you right now.
Now, did you at least roll down the window so that they could hear you?
Give them the business.
No, the window's broken. This is my work car.
Oh, okay.
Fair enough.
Well, sorry.
All right.
Sorry.
Open the door then. Stick your head out.
They can hear me.
Yeah, sure.
So, KC.
Right.
I was super wrong last week. I thought the Chargers were going to be a huge challenge. Well, I guess I was in the majority. Everybody thought the Chargers were going to be a huge challenge. I know Andy Reid is known for forgetting that there's an actual clock in the game.
Yes.
However, I truly believe in the talent of Patrick Mahomes. This kid is a phenom. He's got some great weapons around him, and it's going to be brick cold, so it's going to be a huge running game, and the Patriots have a horrible run defense. They really do, and this kid can scoop. This kid can move, and they have some really good blocking. They have a really good blocking slash catching tight end in Kelsey. Really get down the field with the offensive line. I think it's going to be a huge challenge. I think weather is definitely the equalizer in this game.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, if both teams have to run the ball, because last week we didn't really get – I mean, the Patriots got such a big lead that Melvin Gordon was taken out of the game because of that. Right, because of the score. I mean, they did a good job. We only had 9 carries. This week, you'd get the sense that they're going to be running the ball a whole lot more. Both teams will. And Damian Williams has been pretty good since he has come in and really replaced both Kareem Hunt and Spencer Ware. So that's going to be a challenge. He had 129 yards against the Colts.
And that's a fair point, Keith. And the Patriots gave themselves a good cushion by grabbing the ball at first and then just running it down their throats so they can establish, you know, the scoring and to get them on their heels real quick. But I don't think we're going to have that kind of advantage against KC. I think that they're not a one-dimensional team for sure. And again, their run game is just as good as their pass.
Do you know in the regular season, I hate to burst your bubble here, Mike, in the regular season, Kansas City's run defense was 27th in the National Football League. The Patriots' run defense was 11th.
Ranking schmanking, Dale. This is the playoffs.
Mike, stop with this. Because guess what? In the playoffs, the Patriots' run defense is better, too. You trot this crap out about, well, the Chiefs have a great run defense. No, they don't.
Well, Patriots certainly don't.
What's happening? Are you on a speedway? What is this? Are you got a Hemi on that thing? What's happening right now?
Oh, that's my custom sport exhaust that actually fell off a few weeks ago.
All right. Fantastic, Mike. Thanks for the call.
As much as I like to listen to it.
We heard a lot of it. Jeez Louise. All right. Yeah, no, Kansas City's defense sucks. Like, it just does.
Now, their defense is not good at all.
Now, they played really well, though, against the Colts. So, if you're just looking at the playoffs, Patriots played great against the Chargers.
Yep.
The Chiefs played really well against the Colts. The Colts had two touchdowns in the game, and one of them came off of a blocked kick. You know, Marlon Mack, who had over 100 yards rushing against the Texans the week before, he only had 46, but similar to Melvin Gordon, they only handed him the ball 9 times because it was such a big lead.
Right.
So it was really hard to test either run defense last week.
So it would be curious if the Patriots won the toss, did they take the ball again like they did last weekend? Under the exact same philosophy, let's take the ball, let's get out in front, let's try to make Patrick Mahomes more one-dimensional. Which is what they did last Sunday to perfection.
Because I think both teams would be thrilled maybe even the Patriots more so if they ran the ball for 150 yards again. You know, if they do that and it's a Sony Michel type of game, again, the keys don't lie, Dale. We had the keys last week.
No, never.
Yeah, you rush for 100 yards, you win the game. Or if you're Sony Michel and you rush for 100 yards. Or if you're Sony Michel and you score a touchdown, you win. That's what it was like in the regular season. And that's what they're going to have to do again in this game. In Kansas City, like, how much of that was all of a sudden Kansas City figured something out on defense, or did the Colts just fall apart and Andrew Luck was in a cold environment outside of the dome? I think it was more the Colts just weren't ready for that game than the Chiefs all of a sudden have a defense. These are bad. The Patriots have the best defense left in the playoffs. Now, they also this is a good stat, though, for everybody wondering, hey, is it still a defensive league? Not that many people are saying that anymore, but this year, very, very proof positive for the offense. The four best scoring offenses in the NFL this season are playing championship weekend. It was the Chiefs, it was the Saints, it was the Rams, and it was the Patriots. Those are your four best offenses. They're all playing right now. The best defenses, long gone. These are certainly not the best defenses that are left.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Greg's in Quincy. Hey, Greg.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's going on?
Hey, Greg.
Hey, Dale, you were saying something about a 15-yard assessment on someone throw something on the field.
I said that. I thought that's what they said on the game.
Because how could that be? Because honestly, if I'm a Patriots fan, I'm at the game, I'm throwing my bare neck.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. I thought I heard that. Maybe I heard wrong, but I thought that's what they said because they did a warning. And they warned the crowd is what when I was watching the game on Saturday. I could be mistaken.
But it sounded good, and you said it with conviction.
Yeah, I mean, I'm staying by it until you can prove me wrong.
Absolutely. You get me tickets, I'll definitely do it.
No, Greg, we're not going to get you tickets so you can throw stuff on the field. We're not doing that.
Well,
come on.
Patriots 15 yards would be the best yards I ever gave them.
All right. Well, you're trying to help the team win. You can't really blame you. All right, thanks, Greg. Now, maybe we can look that up. I thought that's what they said. Now, I know in college basketball they'll do that when it's like a home game and they'll say, hey, you throw something on the court again, it's a technical foul for your home team. And you're right. Couldn't just a fan from the other team be like, all right, here it is. Like, throw a Gatorade bottle. But I think that's what they said.
They may threaten it. It's hard to believe they'd actually do it.
How they could really enforce it. But they showed that kid. He was able to get a snowball and chuck it onto the field. I think it might have hit somebody on the sideline.
They never have an arm to get it far enough.
Well, it depends on where you're
sitting. It's always some poor innocent guy sitting down there in, you know, row three with his kid.
Yeah, if you're sitting close enough, you could probably get it onto the field. I don't know.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. By the way, we've heard a lot of, as soon as I brought up the defensive rankings for the Chiefs, folks on Twitter, well, you on the text, you know, they're a lot better at home than they are on the road. Okay, really?
Well, they are.
I know, but every team's better
at home. I wouldn't say they're
a
lot better.
Every team's better at home than they are on the road.
And I think that's what the game comes down to still. I mean, I think the Chiefs are at home. They lost one game at home all year, so they're 8-1 at home. Patriots are 3-5 on the road. It could be as simple as that. You know, if this game was played in Foxborough, I think almost everybody would be taking the Patriots. But the game is not. And so I'm going to have a hard time picking the Pats to win.
I was just looking at what they did after Kareem Hunt left.
Yeah.
They beat the Raiders, 40-33. Okay, they beat the Raiders.
Raiders are the Raiders, yeah.
They beat the Ravens, 27-24. That's a good one.
Yes.
They got beat by the Chargers, 29-28.
That was their only home loss, I believe?
Yes.
Okay, yep.
They got beat by the Seahawks, 38-31.
That was in Seattle.
They beat the Raiders, 35-3.
Your play was on your schedule, Dale.
No, I understand that. But my point is, we were talking about point production went down like 4 points a game after Kareem Hunt left.
Mm-hmm.
They also suffered a couple of their losses after Kareem Hunt left.
Right. But at least, I mean, those are real teams. You know, those are that they lost to. And then they smashed the Colts last week. So, you know, also without Kareem Hunt, clearly.
Yep.
And so the Colts were the hottest team in the NFL at that point. Andrew Luck was playing as well as anybody. They were coming off a pretty impressive win. And they were just never in the game. You know, Kansas City got out to an early lead and just never looked back. They dominated that one start to finish. And Patrick Mahomes wasn't great. Patrick Mahomes, his only touchdown was rushing. So it wasn't like he put on a clinic, and even still, the game wasn't close.
Non-stop, wall-to-wall coverage of the Patriots. We're back with Dale and Keith on WEEI.
Are you ready to admit that you're wrong about Tom Brady?
No, absolutely not. I mean, Tom Brady was excellent, of course. He didn't do anything wrong. But a lot of guys could have thrown to receivers who every receiver was open for, like, by 10 yards. He threw into zero tight windows. He faced zero pressure. Tom Brady was dead last against the blitz this year. In the NFL, among starting quarterbacks, he was awful against the blitz. So what did Lynn scheme up there on the other side? No blitzing, no pressure at all. And he just picked apart the zone, and they never made an adjustment. So, like, can I say anything bad about Tom Brady? Of course not. He's clutch. He's the greatest of all time. I get that. But was he in the MVP conversation this year? No. Was he the last several years? Yes. That's clearly a fall off. And in this game, I cannot judge. I thought the Chargers would win. Absolutely. But it's not like I watched and thought, oh, my God, Brady is amazing. He deserves credit for keeping that offense humming.
I mean,
you know what I'm close to doing? I'm close to casting a vote.
Just done with it.
That we just stop.
Yeah, because
we just stop playing morons like him and Rob Parker.
Because I don't even think
because
Max,
you know what, we're propping these loser shows up.
Well, especially I mean Rob Parker. I think forget that Max Kellerman. At least people know who that is. And so Max Kellerman too. I don't even think he believes it. He's just so dug in. Like you ever had you know an opinion and. You know you're wrong, but you're like, this is my thing now, so I'm just going to keep going. So it's pretty predictable what he's going to say, but that's just outrageous. Just giving the guy no credit for the win. He played really well, too.
All right, let's talk to New England Patriots Hall of Famer, NFL Network analyst Willie McGinnis, joining us right now. Hey, Willie, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great, thank you. We'll talk about last Sunday's game in a moment, but I just wanted to briefly touch on this coming weekend. It stands the possibility of being the coldest game in Patriots history. You played in the second coldest game in Patriots history against the Titans. I'm sure you remember that playoff game. What was it like for you?
It was brutal, man. It was cold, you know. Of course, the ground was a little different then. It had frozen, and, you know, we didn't have the heaters and things of that sort under the field at that time. Technology has changed a little bit more, but it was cold, you know, so when you're a receiver or somebody, you're trying to catch a pass or when you're hitting people, which I was on defense, so it was great for me. People were taking hit. We had a couple guys had to go to the hospital after the game because they had frostbite on their hands. So it was cold, man, but it was a good cold game for us because we were victorious.
Which position is it, receiver that has affected the most or is it another position you think?
I think so. I mean, I really think so. Running backs as well, because if it's that cold, the ball gets a little, you know, a little numb in your hands and people swipe at it and hit you. And when you're putting your helmet across the football And receivers, when you're trying to catch a pass and the quarterback puts a little, you know, a little heat on it, your fingers, you know, that's the toughest part, you know, in those type of games. It's your fingers trying to keep your hands warm.
I assume that you felt fairly confident about the Patriots against the Chargers, but if you did feel confident, I assume you also didn't think it would be as easy as it ended up being.
No, I didn't think anybody did. The Chargers came in as one of the hottest teams in the NFL, and they were playing great, especially on the road. But, you know, it's always another level, you know, when you're playing in the playoffs. And I picked the Patriots to win that game. As lopsided as it was, I didn't see that coming.
Do you think what they did against the Chargers they're going to be able to do against Kansas City? And by that, I mean Sony Michel over 20 carries, and then really targeting Julian Edelman and James White, sprinkling in a couple of other guys here and there, but primarily it was Julian Edelman, James White.
Yeah, well, I think what happens is when you go into those games, you try to find the matchups. And, you know, you study tape and you see what the defense is giving you. And you know, as a Patriot, your role changes every single week. You know, I talk to the guys about that all the time. It all depends on what the defense gives you. That's what dictates the offense, and vice versa. You know, on the other side of the ball, on defense, it goes off of what the offense gives you. So everybody has a role. Everybody understands that there, and I think that's what makes that team so special. It's not about one individual. It's about what gives you the best chance to win.
I'm never surprised when Dante Scarnecchia cooks up a good game plan for his offensive line unit. But when I saw the job they did, particularly against Bosa and Ingram, they dominated that game the entire night.
They did, man. And I saw Dante before the game, and we always smile and always say hello. And he's just amazing, man, at what he's able to do and how he game plans and how he gets those guys going. When he left New England, there was a big void, I think, on the coaching staff and on that team. He has the longest tenure there as a Patriot. He just grinds, man. He just grinds, and he does a great job of communicating with those guys and getting them fired up, and their technique is so good. You got to give them a lot of credit, man. They did a great job. Those guys up front for the Chargers can be disruptive, and they did a great job of keeping a clean pocket and opening up the running lanes.
Seems like every week we're talking about pass rushers on the other side, certainly last week with Bosa and Ingram. But the truth is, Trey Flowers probably deserves to have his name mentioned with those guys. Doesn't have the double-digit sack totals that a lot of them do. But as far as his impact on a game, he's got to be right there with them, right?
I always say this. You don't really necessarily have to have the sacks, but if you can affect the pocket and affect the throw, cause incompletions, get the quarterback off the spot, make him uncomfortable – that's also a great pass rush. And sometimes we get so caught up in numbers, which are great. You want the numbers. But we get so caught up on numbers, we forget about the actual game and the impact of the game. If you throw away the stat sheets and the statistics and you sit down and watch a game, I don't know how many sacks. What was it, like three sacks or a few sacks in that game? Mm-hmm. But they affected the pocket so much more. It seemed like on every other passing play, Phillip was either getting moved off the spot, he was running out of the pocket, he had incomplete throws, he had to shortstop a couple of throws because of the pressure, and those things don't show up on a stat sheet. So I think Flowers does a great job. I think that they had a great game plan going in. I think Hightower, Van Noy also did a great job on the Mike Will blitzes up the middle of the pocket, you know, which they had designed to get Phillip off the spot. And you got to be able to do that, and they did it. So I think the task this week is a little bit different because you're not going to be trying to flush Patrick Mahomes that much this week out of the pocket unless you're flushing him into a stunt that you got designed. You want to keep him in the pocket, try to make him throw from a tight pocket.
Patrick Mahomes may be as good at throwing on the run as any quarterback we've seen in recent years. What special challenges does he pose for a defensive lineman or linebacker, as you said, you know, trying to keep him where you need him?
Well, he throws from any angle. I mean, that's a tough spot. He's like a baseball player. Well, he is a baseball player. He's throwing the ball around linemen in different awkward positions. But, you know, the problem is when you have those type of quarterbacks outside of the pocket, 9 times out of 10 coverage breaks down on the back end because now he's moving – Now he has the threat of running the ball as well. So it just opens up a whole nother can of worms. So you got to be able to try to limit those things and make him do one thing. If he's running, he could beat you with his feet. And then once he starts to get in space, things open up on the back end. So when you give him multiple options, it makes it tough for a defense to cover that long. And usually the receivers uncover and make plays.
Bill Belichick, talking about the problems with Mahomes yesterday, said that if you're in the secondary, until Mahomes gets to the line of scrimmage, you've got to worry about coverage. Now, once he gets to the line of scrimmage and obviously can't throw, then it's different. But it really is that decision-making process for those guys in the secondary.
It is. And, you know, the other thing is he waits. He's so good at keeping his eyes, looking you off, and throwing opposite. You know, he doesn't seem like a second-year player. He's so mature. He's one of those very athletic. He's poised. Seems like he doesn't crumble under pressure. And, you know, he can make those last-second throws. We watch so much tape, and we show so many XOs of him getting out of the pocket. He's looking one direction to either move a player, move a safety, move a linebacker, to uncover his receiver, and then he throws across his body or across the field, and he makes a dime. He throws a dime, an accurate throw. So he's tough in that way, too. So I think your best chance is just to keep him, like I said, bottled up in that pocket. That way you take away some of those options.
It's the four best offenses that are left in the final four teams here in the conference championship. Now, as far as points allowed defensively, the Patriots are the only one in the top 12, at least from the regular season. Do you think they have the best defense left out of these four teams?
Well, you got to carry that. You know, you got to carry that into the playoffs. And, you know, a lot of people were talking about the defense earlier on. And, you know, I would say this, you know, it's all about adjustments and finding things to make and finding different ways to win, and, you know, schematically. And, you know, when you're playing against these great offenses, which a lot of people tend to talk more about these days, you got to go into these type of games and limit opportunities. You got to go in and force the offenses to kick field goals versus get in the red zone, which the Patriots did against, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs last time, which I thought was the difference. You get into the red zone three or four times, and you only get three field goals out of it and an interception. That's almost 28 points off the board against a potent offense like that. So still in possessions, turnovers, and limited these high-flying offenses to field goals in the red zone is a win. So you got to pack your defense in the playoffs. You definitely got to pack them on the road. And I think more than these offenses being so good that are going to face Sunday, they're going to have to play good defense as well. And both of these defenses seem to be playing better now.
The Patriots just finished a perfect home record this year, including the playoffs. They won't play again at Gillette Stadium this year. But on the road, they've been 3-5. Does that indicate a team that's mentally tough to you or has problems with that?
Well, they struggled on the road. Everybody understands that. And you got to be able to make adjustments. But that was earlier in the year. You know, I think that they understand that. They've played on the road before in the AFC battle against Denver and other teams. We've been on the road against Pittsburgh. I know it's a different team, but, you know, what's important is you got to eliminate the mistakes. And a lot of things that happened on the road with this Patriots team was self-inflicted. Whether it's the false starts, whether it's the holdings or whatever, taking away big plays, whether it's bad technique or bad tackling on defense or mental breakdowns and communication defensively, a lot of those things they did to themselves. So you got to understand, it's great to win at home and things will be a little more settled, the crowd will be in your favor. Now when you go on the road, it's going to be different. Especially at Kansas City, one of the loudest stadiums and one of the more hostile environments in the league, you can't make those mistakes. You got to be in tune. You can't give a good team anything, and that's what the Patriots have won on consistently for the last decade. And I just think this year on the road, they were doing a little bit of that to themselves, hurting themselves, and you know it's hard. Like I said, once you get behind on the road against good teams, it's hard to come back and pull yourself out.
At this early stage of the week, do you believe the Patriots are going to earn another trip to the Super Bowl?
You know, it's a little early, like you just said, and I'm still breaking down everything, but From what I've seen Sunday, man, they give themselves a great chance to go in the Arrowhead and play a competitive game and win. You can't predict these things. But I think that in order to do that, like I said, they're going to have to play good defense, and special teams are going to have to get some yards on a return game. In a game like this, that's going to be physical and cold. And from what I've seen, you know, last week, man, they look sharp. They look like they're ready to go. They're playing with a chip on their shoulder. Nobody thought that they were going to be playing that style of football on that level, giving them a chance. And I think when you count teams out, that makes them dangerous.
Willie, we always appreciate the time. Thanks very much.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks, Willie.
Take care. That is Patriots Hall of Famer, NFL Network analyst Willie McGinest. You can follow him on Twitter and Instagram at Willie McGinest.
Hit us up on Twitter at Dale Keefe, WEEI. Now more of Dale Arnold and Rich Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
At this early stage of the week, do you believe the Patriots are going to earn another trip to the Super Bowl?
You know, it's a little early, like you just said, and I'm still breaking down everything, but from what I've seen Sunday, man, they give themselves a great chance to go in the Arrowhead and play a competitive game.
Thank you, Willie.
Just a little more tape.
Appreciate you.
Dale and Willie need to watch a little more tape.
I don't watch tape, but I'd like to get more information.
All right, find a little more stats.
Wouldn't you like to know that, oh my God, it's going to be 12 below now? Or
no, it doesn't matter.
No?
No.
Weather doesn't matter.
So if it's 12, 25, 12 below, does that matter to you? With these two teams, I think it's different if you're like, oh, it's going to be 50 degrees and they're playing the Saints or they're playing the Colts, or it's 1 degree.
Right, right.
The dome team, yeah. I think the Patriots and the Chiefs are both probably fine, as equipped as anybody to play outdoors. Brady obviously has a great record playing when it's really cold.
I think Brady has the advantage the colder it is. I think Patrick Mahomes is going to face something he's never dealt with here this weekend.
But I do think at least the Chiefs, I don't know what the temperature is there right now. I'm sure it's like today here. Where if you're practicing in that, and then, yeah, you're like, ooh, Sunday's a little bit colder, but you're not, like, shell-shocked. Like, that's what the Chargers seemed like when they got here. And they're like, oh, my God, I'm not prepared for this. And that was in the 20s.
Yeah, wasn't that
so miserable. I think at least Kansas City, those guys all living there, and those guys sort of used to it being maybe not as cold as it is here all the time, but it's not going to just blow their doors off because they're used to playing at 70 degrees.
One quick football note as we get back to the calls with you guys. According to Mike Garofalo of the NFL Network, the Colts are letting offensive line coach Dave DeGuglielmo go.
Googs!
Now, first of all, as he points out, the line made tremendous leaps this season, and they did.
They had a good line. Well, they also drafted Quentin.
Yeah, who was really good.
Yeah.
But he says Frank Reich wants his own guy. You'll remember now, DeGuglielmo was the only offensive coach that Josh McDaniels had hired.
Hey, Quentin, what's up, man?
He helped, yeah. Right, he stayed on the staff.
He had hired him. They, to their credit, honored the contract, kept him on staff for a year, and then they let him go.
Well, he was the guy here for a year until Dante. So he replaced Dante, and then Dante replaced him.
And according to Garofalo, Reich is actually recommending him to other coaches, even though he is firing him.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for the recommendation. We'll give you a glowing recommendation. Oh, thanks, but you're fired. But don't
come back.
Collect your things and please leave. We want our own guys. That's interesting, though, considering the team was good. They made the playoffs. They won a game, and their offensive line was really good. And I don't know, maybe he doesn't trust him or something, but he wants to get his own guy in there.
All right, let's get back to the calls with you guys. 617-779-7937. Nick is in Weymouth. Hey, Nick.
Hey, a couple of things.
Yeah.
You know, the best thing that happened to the Patriots so far this year is that Houston blew the number two seed. Otherwise, the Patriots would have had to travel to Houston, win, hopefully, come back here and play again. We lost the bye. That's what happened to the Chargers. They had no bye. I thought the Chargers were actually going to win, but I think that was one of the reasons. Plus, they don't have any linebackers.
I'm with you, Nick, but you could argue that one either way because they lucked out with the Texans losing to the Eagles, but they also killed themselves by losing to the Dolphins. And had they not lost the Dolphins, Kansas City would be coming here this weekend.
Here's one other thing.
All right.
The Patriots' road record sucks this year. They were 3-5 in the road. They only played 3 winning teams. They lost to 2 of them. So they're not world beaters on the road.
No, I know that, but I'm saying they had a you got to admit they had a chance to beat Miami in that game, and then they would be hosting the
thing.
Yeah, we
all have chances, but a loss is a loss.
Yeah, but you just started with the Texans Eagles thing, so I'm just saying if a loss is a loss there, then a loss is a loss there. So then wipe them both out.
No, I'm just saying that was fortunate for the Patriots. That's the way football works.
But then there was also unfortunate for the Patriots to lose to the Dolphins. My point is wipe them both out.
Was they didn't have to travel and play. That's my point.
Okay.
All right.
I don't quite understand the luck part.
You want the bye.
A bye is a huge thing at this time of year.
And they
are you kidding?
It.
No, thank you.
And they earned it.
So you don't want to play on wild card weekend.
I'm just saying that's the best thing that happened to them. I ain't saying they didn't deserve it, but it's the best thing that happened to them.
Yeah, well, you did. You said they lucked out.
But I think we're at the point where saying that the bye is helpful to a team is pretty obvious, right?
Yeah. I mean all four teams that sat home with the bye week are all playing this weekend.
Yeah, the best thing that happened to them was they got a bye. Okay. Could have been better. They could have had home field. Could have been worse. They could have been playing wild card weekend. I understand that. So this is what they got. And I'm with you. If you want to break it down, and maybe that's where he was going to go next, was it's going to just come down to them being on the road. They've been a bad road team. Then fine.
Fair enough.
Do you want a stat that'll blow your socks off? Should I do that now?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well,
do you want my stat of the day?
Please.
Rossi, you got my stat of the day ready to go? I got a stat of the day that'll knock your socks off. It's actually sort of a double stat. And you're not going to like this one, Dale.
Okay.
Because you like history, right?
Today, it's Richie's stat of the day.
Thank you, Tom. Because the Patriots... I think you have to take into account history when it comes to Belichick and Brady, because everybody was saying, well, he's 7-0 versus Phillip Rivers, but what does it mean?
Right.
Well, it actually kind of ended up working out. Or, you know, they're 12-2 in the divisional round. Well, it kind of worked out. Those kind of stats. This kind of blew me away twofold. Tom Brady has a losing record on the road in the playoffs. He's 3-4 on the road in the playoffs.
They don't play a lot on the road.
So much so, they have played more Super Bowls, which is a neutral site, than they have away games. That's outrageous. They've played 8 neutral site games in the playoffs. He has only played 7 games. Now, one of those games includes the one where he got hurt against Pittsburgh. That was a win, and Bledsoe played the second half. So they have a couple of wins over Pittsburgh, and they have that San Diego win. The San Diego win was, talk about being fortunate, that was a Troy Brown, you know, gift from God there. So when they've gone on the road, they basically lose to Denver. They've lost to Denver 3 times, and they lost to the Colts. But for all the numbers that point to a positive thing for the Patriots, and there are plenty, just Tom Brady and Bill Belichick's playoff records and all this stuff, and, you know, in the conference championship round, everything else. But he has a losing record this season on the road, and he has a losing record in his career in the playoffs on the road. Not good.
Not good.
Not good. You like that stat of the day, Rossi?
No, it kind of bums me out.
Yeah, but did you know that, though?
It makes him sad.
I did not know that.
Did you not know that? That's sort of the key to the stat of the day, is to knock people's socks off.
Today, it's Richie's stat of the day.
Thank you, Tom.
And it gives us a chance to
drop
that in.
I think it's pretty significant.
Brandon's in New Hampshire. Hey, Brandon, how you doing?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi.
So a quick thing, I think, pardon me, I've got a little bit of a speech impediment. As Willie, you know, kind of touched on this a little bit, but I wanted to find out specifically what your thoughts on, you know, since the Patriots and Chiefs are pretty evenly matched, how is the secondary going to, you know, stop the long ball if they keep, you know, Patrick at the, like in the pocket and not have him, you know, get flushed out and get those short passes for, you know, first downs?
I mean, they got so many guys that he could throw to. Mahomes does, and they saw it firsthand with Tyreek Hill's speed. Like, I like the Patriots secondary a lot.
They're the best
Gilmore,
secondary left in the playoffs.
They got
too.
A really good secondary, but it's also not just going to be the secondary. Like, the linebackers are going to have to pick up at times, running backs out of the backfield or Travis Kelce. So, I mean, they can hurt him a number of ways. There's a reason why the Chiefs scored more points than everybody else. So, I don't know. What you would want to do with Mahomes? He can throw. He's fine throwing in the pocket, but then he's better than everybody else on the run.
Right. So I guess I'm concerned that the Patriots kind of let up in the fourth quarter after they gave up 28 points to the Chargers. They can't do that on the road, at Chiefs when they have all the advantage, you know, going their way.
I understand your concern, Brandon. I will also say that Bill Belichick, if there is Exhibit A of a guy who's willing to give up yards for seconds, it's Bill Belichick in the fourth quarter, you know. And he's like that all the time. tick, 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 tick. You, go ahead. Get your yards. Right. Go ahead. Run, right, pass.
And the Chargers game is a little bit different because they were up so big.
Right.
That you almost look at the second half and say, all right, you're just trying to bleed clock and you don't need to score any more points. Like they had such a commanding lead at the half. That is so different. It was even a bigger lead. The Chiefs were up 24-7 at the half. So they had a big lead as well. So that may have changed and impacted how they did things offensively in the second half. I really don't see a scenario where either team has a 20-plus point lead. I don't see it.
Hard to picture.
You know, I think it's going to be pretty close. I think both offenses still have the advantage over either defense that they're facing.
617-779-7937. Mike's in South Hadley. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Dale. How you doing?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
Pretty good. Hey, I think the Patriots are sandbagging, or trying to sandbag the league with Gronkowski and Hogan. Gronkowski got what, one reception, one pass?
Yeah,
to lead the league on, and thinking that Gronkowski's gone, washed up. I think he's going to have an all-star game this weekend.
It's certainly possible. I think it's more likely, Mike, that he's just having trouble physically,
yeah.
You know, running pass patterns. Now, blocking is different. You're going straight ahead.
He's
you're meeting guy,
well.
and he was killing him blocking on Sunday. I think, you know, when you're running pass patterns and you're juking and cutting, I think it's hard for him to do that physically right now.
Yeah, I think if they're fooling the league, they definitely fooled me, because I think he's done. Unfortunately, and maybe teams still have to put attention on him. You know, maybe they're never going to just say, all right, well, he's not going to hurt us at all. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's another kind of game where Edelman, White, even Dorsett are targeted more than Gronk. You know, to Mike's point, he was only targeted that one time. Like,
yeah.
That's pretty telling.
And he drew one pass interference penalty.
Yeah.
But, you know, the fact of the matter is, it would not be to their benefit if Rob Gronkowski's healthy and raring to go. Well, just hold off. We don't need him this week. We'll save him. We'll spring him on folks later on.
Yeah.
I think that if they felt that he could be a viable part of their pass game, he'd be a viable part.
And I'll say, I mean, just to be consistent, which I always am.
Always.
Everybody knows that.
You know, that's your middle name.
Right. They always
Rich
said,
Consistent Keefe.
Very similar. It's exactly what it is. So last week, coming off the bye, I said if Gronk over the next 2 weeks was going to have a big game, and not that I predicted it, but I said if he was going to have a big game, it would have been against the Chargers.
Coming off the bye.
Coming off the bye. He's more well-rested, and all these guys are a little bit healthier than certainly the team that they were playing. But now, after just playing this week, and even though he only had the one catch, he still played, 90-something percent of the snaps, I believe it was. So he was out there. He played a full game, had one catch. I don't see a scenario where he comes out and has 7 catches for, you know, 90 yards and a touchdown. I don't think it's happening.
He may, you know, like he had the 25-yard catch, you know, in the game on Sunday. He may be able to give you a pass play or two or three or something.
Make it a touchdown.
I don't think he's going to be a major part of the passing game because he hasn't been for so long.
No.
We've been talking about that all season long, how they're really not even looking for him. And I think that's it has more to do with his ability to get free. Just because I think physically he's having problems.
But if you're the Chiefs, don't you have to...
Yeah, you have to game plan for him,
right?
You
have to game plan for him, but don't you more so have to put all hands on deck on Edelman and White? Like, how can you not watch that game against the Chargers and just allow Brady to throw it quick to White, have him, you know, dart down the field 7-8 yards, 7-8 yards, 7-8 yards, and then Julian Edelman throw to him a million times? I mean, that was the offense. You got to just... put guys on that, be physical with those guys as much as you can. I mean, and then with the way Gronk has been playing, not that you're just going to, you know, put some stiff on him, but I would put way more attention on those other guys right now. That was the offense.
I mean, I'm sure if they're watching, and they are, watching every play that the Patriots have run this year, and they're saying, Gronk doesn't look the same.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like he's getting open as much. We don't have to worry as much about him. And then if suddenly, you know, he gets the miracle cure on Sunday night and you're the Chiefs and you haven't put as much attention to him in the game plan as you might have otherwise, then he's going to kill you.
Well, and Eric Berry didn't play last week. And if he plays this week, he's one of the few guys in the league that you probably could put one-on-one on Gronk and then put the attention elsewhere. So that's going to be a pretty significant by the end of the week.
617-779-7937. Tommy's on the cell phone. Hey, Tommy.
Hey, guys. We have big games this Sunday. I love hearing your analysis and everybody making their picks. But there's one thing I would like to know.
Yes.
What does the Dale scale say?
A good point.
Oh, the Dale scale.
This is idiotic to have to do a pick of the game on the Monday before they play the game.
Just look
Thank
at the
you,
Dale
Lucy.
Scale. So here's the deal with the Dale scale. The Patriots offense was fourth. The defense was seventh. So that'd be a Dale scale of 11. The Kansas City Chiefs offense was first. Defense, 24th. Dale scale, 25.
Wow.
Huge advantage for the Patriots.
Yes, huge advantage. Okay. What about the other game?
Let me effort that.
Yeah, effort that. Will you? Thank you.
I'll get you that so you can get your bet in.
Yeah, you don't want to call pickles until you know the Dale scale for the NFC Championship game.
Saints, offense, they were third. Defense, they were 14th.
17.
That's a Dale scale of 17. And then lastly, the Los Angeles Rams, their offense was second. Their defense was 20th.
Rams have the disadvantage to the Saints in that department.
So Dale scale
Dale
power
scale,
rankings.
You've got Patriots beating the Chiefs. You've got the Saints beating the Rams. You've got your 81-year-old combined age for the two starting quarterbacks in the Super Bowl.
And then you'd have Patriots over Saints.
Yes, you would. Dale scale would give you
the
Patriots.
Dale scale would tell you. How do you
one
like
week
that?
At a time.
That below
it's ridiculous to have to pick the Super Bowl game 3 weeks before you play it, for crying out loud.
I agree with you there, Dale.
But if you have all that data. So what did we say the Patriots Dale scale was 11?
Yeah.
You want to know who had a Dale scale of 10?
Probably the team they just beat.
No, Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
Chicago Bears had a Dale scale of 10. And if they had a kicker, they might still be playing. Who knows?
But he's got a TV career waiting for him.
He does. He's very charismatic, that guy.
Cute little guy, his little sport coat and everything, waving, smiling.
Nice little kicker.
Mike Nagy going, I'm going to kill somebody.
He's like, you are off the team.
Like we thought he was never going back to Chicago anyway, right?
Yeah, he's been on the team longer than I thought. I thought they were already going to release him, but there must be some sort of salary cap rules for that.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Did we undersell? Is there a Kiefer Madness today that I neglected to promote properly?
Oh, you better believe it. Yeah, it's a Tuesday. It means it's a Madness Day.
I feel really bad about
that. Don't worry
that.
About
no,
it.
No, I should have.
I'd prefer you not say anything than say it's the greatest one of all time. So,
well, I'm working my way up to that. All right. We also have Bruins tickets to give away. We completely undersold that.
Nice.
So that's coming up as well. 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.